Praise your Lord. Praise your Father. Praise your Father. We realize this morning, Lord, that there's only one reason to live, and that's to bring you honor and bring you glory.
Yes.
Anyone in this room, Lord, that's living for themselves and for their own purposes, let them be changed this morning by your power, by your might, and by your word.
Yes. Hallelujah.
We enjoy life when we exalt you.
Yes.
Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Y'all may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm very anxious to get into the Word this morning.
Yeah.
Richard, while you're there, turn around and testify. Yeah, face the other way so they can hear you better.
Okay. Friday at Cliffhack, they were working there, and a lady came up to me and said, "You're the repairman, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And for my son, Cole. That's all we prayed right there and then. And I want to give God praise.
Ma'am.
He orchestrated that, and they're starting to realize they were there for more than just bread or food. We're there for God's sake.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Also, a few weeks ago when we were here doing the work on the church, Jean came to me and she said, "Bill," she was talking about a pain. She didn't ask me to pray. I said, "Well, let's pray." So Stan and I got together and we prayed for her. And her sciatic, that she's been having pain when all morning, went away immediately.
Praise the Lord.
Well, this morning as I came in, for some reason, I was suffering something the same. Maybe it was the same thing. I don't know where it came from. I don't care. Well, yeah, I know where it came from, but I don't receive it.
Ma'am.
So I called on Jean. I said, "Jean, pray." So she grabbed Stan and prayed again, and it is gone.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give God a hand. Praise the Lord. Once again, I am so thankful that God is growing people in our presence here. I was excited when Jean said, "I want to pray for Bill." Jean does not usually do such bold things. She must have a new spurt of faith. Hallelujah. Then it's another upper, right? Yeah, don't get your uppers from coffee. It doesn't work. It goes away. Get them from God. He's the only one that can make them last longer than a cup of coffee. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Many, many testimonies. Many great things are going on. I'm happy to see every new face in here.
Yeah.
You're only new once, and after that, your family. So, glad to see you back. Glad to see you back. You're a person of your word. You said you would, and you were back. Praise God. Need to get some good church people to be so faithful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all ready to receive from God this morning? All right, grab your Bibles, and let's see what God's going to do for you and for me this morning. I am really excited about this, because the more I study Joseph, the more I can not only see situations that kind of distract us, but I can see how if you handle them correctly, they're not situations, they're stepping stones to get to where God wants you to be.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Turn to Genesis. Turn to Genesis. That's where we're finding out, studying. Now, I'll do some review, but nobody will be left out or behind. Hallelujah. Let's pray before we read. Father, we're here for a purpose, and that purpose is because we're hungry and thirsty.
Yes.
We've had enough of what the world has to offer. We want now what you have to offer in full, in total.
Yes.
We repent from those areas where we've been in the way.
Yes.
We ask you to help us get out of the way so that you can become the foremost, the utmost, the only thing that matters. That our excuses fall to one side, our discouragements fall down, our history goes away, and you become our future.
Yes.
We want that to happen here this morning. We turn our minds and our hearts and our focus to you. We don't care about what's done pretty here this morning. We care about what's done right.
Amen.
Your name is right, so welcome in this place.
Yes.
Set us straight where we think we have the truth, and you know we don't. Set us straight, Lord. Convict and correct and change. So that we walk out of here better than when we came in.
Amen.
We know that's done because we've heard the amens, we've heard the agreements, we've heard the cries of the heart, and now we say, "Be it unto us according to you." In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. I've read that to you, this to you the last few times, and we're going to read it again until we get it correct. It's an attitude of the heart that we need to adopt. If you will, stand with me in honor of God's Word as we read. We're going to read 19, 20, and 21. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God." Now, does everybody in here know what that means? That does not mean I'm God. It means I'm exactly where God wants me to be. "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." Verse 21. "Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Now, let's read 21 again. Let's turn it around. The only way that Joseph could have ever said, "Now, therefore, do not be afraid," is if Joseph did not walk in fear.
Right.
You can't give what you don't have.
Right.
So in all of this trial and all this tribulation, you need to see this right off the bat. All the things that Joseph had gone through, he was not afraid. Therefore, when he stood up in front of people that should have been by rights afraid, he said, "Don't be afraid. God has been for me the whole time. He's been working for you. Don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." How could he say this? Because he knows God has provided for him the whole time. "And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." Y'all may be seated. Now, I don't want to have to go through the whole story of Joseph, but, I won't right now. We're going to just say we are studying and learning that God has a plan for His people, both corporately and individually.
That's right.
And that our individual plan has been revealed to us, and it is not for us, it's for others. Man, if we could just get that in the ministry nowadays. A call of God on your life or anybody else's is not for you. It's for other people.
That's right.
It requires of you trust. It requires of you faith. It requires of you no fear. That's your position. But it's not all about you. You're given a job to help other people. All right. We've also seen that God's plan comes with a requirement or an action on our part. Let me give you five things it requires from us. Anytime that we know from reading the Word, from a visitation from God, from a word out of a preacher, from whatever, however the Word comes or the revelation comes that God wants to use you, this is what's required of you. Number one, a full belief or a full, strong belief in God. It's amazing how many people that profess God don't really have a strong belief about God.
Yep.
Number two, a knowing that if God said it, it will happen.
That's right.
The trouble with the gospel that's being preached nowadays, it's not a sure thing. There's variations, there's variables. Man, if, this, that, but. But when God says it, that's the way it is.
That's right.
And until you get that in your spirit, you can never do the job that God wants you to do. Number three, if God put it in us, He'll carry it out.
That's right.
Why do you say that, Stan? Because I want you to understand it's not up to you.
Yes.
Too many Christians believe that when God puts a burden or a call or something on their lives, that they think they've got to make it happen. And that's why most of the time it's delayed so many years.
Right.
He'll carry it out. Number four, it is His plan. He must make it happen. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because I want you to understand something. God has a plan. And if He reveals it to you, He wants to use you. But if you won't allow Him to use you, He still has a plan. He has to use it somewhere else. Okay? And there's no reason to miss a mighty blessing from God by delaying God's plan so far that He can't use you anymore. It is His plan. He must make it happen. Number five, all we do is believe and obey. In the plan of God, all we do is believe and obey. Now, is that too hard?
No.
Well, how can people make it so hard? Believe and obey. Believe that if you obey, it's okay. Everything will turn out all right.
Yeah.
Obey and believe. Believe that God's going to make it happen. You don't have to. Okay? Okay, a quick review. A, The plan for God to use Joseph did not begin with Joseph. Please, we are so selfish in the United States, we think everything revolves around us in this moment. When we forget that it began with Adam.
Amen.
And God's had a plan ever since. The plan for God to use Joseph did not begin with Joseph. It began by placing and training all those before Joseph in the right place at the right time. What a God. Can you imagine God could plan things better than us?
Yes.
Just amazing to me. Sometimes we ought to just sit down and say, God's better at this than I am.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. God's better at this than I am. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
B, there are specific preludes to our call.
Right. Yes.
If we ever get a vision out of ourselves, get up above this world, in our viewing, we're going to understand that God's been working at this plan that He's got for a long time.
Yes.
We just caught up to it.
Amen.
We just woke up one day and said, wow.
Mm-hmm.
An example, since we're studying Joseph, is Joseph's father, Jacob. God even changed his name so that Joseph could do what he needed to do.
Amen.
He was given a command and a vision. This is Joseph's father, Jacob. That introduces Joseph to his task and his future. Y'all get that? I'm telling you right now, where you sit, whatever God has for you in the future, He's already laid out a plan and has accomplished it in the past. We're just a little slow on the uptake. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 35, verse 9. Genesis chapter 35, verse 9. I'll try to make this not too long, but there is no guarantee. Verse 9, chapter 35. Then God appeared to Jacob again. This is Joseph's father. When he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel, and God said to him, I am God Almighty. That means don't argue with me. I know what I'm doing. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you, and to your descendants after you I give this land. Pretty large word to swallow. Right? Is it going to take some faith?
Yes.
Is it going to take some faith beyond your understanding?
Yes.
So always remember, if God has a plan, it's beyond your understanding.
Yes.
Don't try to cipher it out. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to make a plan, an outline, and this is how He's going to do it, because God will on purpose make sure it doesn't happen that way.
That's right.
He doesn't want you trying to be equal to Him. He wants you to accept Him.
Amen.
This is the prelude to Joseph being ruler of a nation. It's a prelude of a lot of things, but let's just stay focused. C, do not assume that because we know it is God, it will be easy. God will make sure it takes your total faith and determination to accomplish His will. Did you hear what I said? God will make sure, that means you're going to be tested, that it'll take your total faith. You know what requires your total faith? When you run out of you. When you run out of you and got to go somewhere else, that's when you move into your total faith. And all of your determination, that means no matter what's been thrown in your way, you've made a determination that nothing can stop me.
Right.
Nothing. I'm going to do God's will no matter what. All right, that's our review today. Let's begin today's lesson. Joseph had two dreams. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
He told them to his family. This brought mock and even hate into the brothers' hearts. Y'all remember that? And did you know that Joseph knew that? He knew that his father mocked him, his brothers mocked him, his brothers hated him. If you would have been in Joseph's position right at this time, here's what most of you would have done. You'd have worried. You'd have become defensive, saying, I must guard against those that want to harm me. The largest mistake in our entire life is to become defensive against others. you've lost your way. The minute you start defending against others, you've lost your way. God never intended. He didn't give you a armor based on defense. He gave you an armor based on offense.
Yes.
Okay, just remember that. Self-defense is the lack of faith in God.
Yes.
Self-defense is a lack of faith in God and His ability to perform what He starts. Y'all didn't get that. I can see that right now. The minute you offer up an excuse of why you do something, it's called self-defense.
Yes.
The minute you blame somebody else, it's self-defense. You want to put the blame on somebody else. You're doing that out of fear and worry because you don't trust God.
Right.
Now, is that a little clearer? If not, I can say it better. I can say it stronger. I'm trying to be gentle. Whatever excuse we're using at the time to do what we're doing, it is lack of faith in God. Let's see what Joseph did. Turn with me to Genesis 37. This is the basis of our message today, and that is a willing heart will change the world. Patrick, if you're looking for a title, there it is. A willing heart will change the world. This is part three of the series. Genesis chapter 37, verse 12 and 13. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flocks in Shechem. And Israel, that's Jacob's new name, Joseph's father's name, said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So Joseph said to him, "Here I am. Here I am. Here I am." Now, how many of you, knowing that these people wanted to kill you, would tell your father, "Here I am"? Now, you can see all kind of tests in Joseph's life, but here's a major one. His brothers had openly said, "Squirt, I'll stomp you in the grass. I'm going to get rid of you, man." And openly said that to him. Joseph's father said, "I want you to go to them." He said, "Here I am." Now, what you're going to see in the study of Joseph, if that was his only answer. Joseph only had one answer: "Here I am." I don't care if he was in prison. If his jailer said, "Do something," he said, "Here I am." If he's living in the master's house, even if the wife was saying, "Come here and do something wrong to me, sin against with me," he said to his master, "Here I am." He didn't say to sin, "Here I am." He didn't go to his master and say, "You got a lousy wife, you need to handle her." He didn't go to the jailer and say, "I didn't do anything wrong. What in the world am I doing here? You guys are treating me wrong." He said, "Here I am." And at one time, he said, "I serve you." God is looking for a willing heart, not a willingness to blame somebody else or give excuses, but a willing to do exactly what God has set before you. Now, you understand that things that are set before you are part of God's will. Didn't get a roaring response on that one either. Those things that are set before you are part of God's will. And the minute you accept that, then you no longer fear that.
Amen.
You only fear those things you don't understand. But if you can understand that God is for you and not against you, then there's no more fear.
Right.
You don't worry about who's talking about you. You don't worry about what people are saying. You don't worry about what people might be trying to do to you. Because if you're in the will of God, then they're trying to do it to God, not to you. Okay? I'd submit to you today that the hardest thing for God to find in His church is a soft to God, willing, worry-free, selfless heart. It's the hardest thing because everybody has an agenda. And some of the dumbest agendas in the world. Some of the dumbest agendas in the world. "Well, you see, I can't do this because my grandson's going to have a birthday party." You forgot the plan of God. You put it aside for a silly little party. A silly little foolish thing. "I can't do this because I have a football game to go to." Well, let's see. God's plan, our football game. I didn't get a real response out of that one, neither did I. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing what we put before God? God says, I need you to do this. You say, but I got to go to work today. Nope. Then you're evidently your work is not part of the plan of God. Our work, our God will take care of the work. Oh, another roaring response. Not even laughter on that one. I must have got some sore spots there. The plan of God is the plan of God. You're either walking in it or you're not. If you're not, He is no longer responsible for caring for you. If you are, He's responsible for caring for you.
Amen.
Isn't that simple? I don't know if I can. Let me try. Let me try. If you're walking in the plan of God, He is responsible for caring for you. If you're not walking in the plan of God, He is not responsible for what you do. If I were your boss, I'm paying you, I'm caring for you, this is my deal. And I tell you, go out and do certain thing. If you don't do that, don't hold me responsible. Don't come back and tell me you need to pay for something that I didn't tell you to do.
Right?
Well, how broad does this get? Everything. Everything. Everything.
Amen.
He looks for those that are more than willing to move when He says move.
Right.
Instead, what He finds are plenty that are looking to use God for what they want.
Can I ask you something? At the beginning of this, you said the softness of God. In the softness of God?
No, I said a soft heart to God.
What does that mean?
That means I'm not soft to you. I'm soft to God. All right. Pliable and willingness, if that's good words to put in there. I am pliable to God, but not to you. I am willing to do what God wants, but I'm not willing to do what you want me to do. And there's another thing right there. I don't let things that I see stop me if I know that I'm walking in the will of God.
Amen.
I don't care what they are, obstacles. Things that I see don't deter me.
Amen.
And we have to look at Joseph's life to understand what we're talking about. Joseph saw the pit. Joseph saw the slavery. Joseph saw a master's house, a great job fall away because of an accusation from a wife. Joseph saw the deepest, darkest prison in his life. None of those ever made him angry. As I studied this morning, I was blown away. Nothing ever caused Joseph to say, it's somebody else's fault. What am I doing here? I didn't deserve this. He never said that. What he was seeing was a walk in the will of God and letting God lead him, and all of it he knew in his heart was successful. And the outcome of that was that the Bible says that everything that Joseph touched was prosperous. Why? Not because he was so good, because God was so good.
Amen.
He was good at trusting God.
Yeah.
Even when it looked the worst, he just said, God. What are you doing here, Joseph? God. You mean you're in prison because, yes, God. Now, I don't know what the outcome of this, Joseph would say. I don't know what the outcome of this is, but you what? It's going to watch. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
We fail and we miss God's will. We walk out of God's will because we don't trust God's will. We don't. What we say in our hearts that this is too rough, so it can't be God. Did you understand that maybe God knew exactly that was your soft spot, so He put you there to show you? Did that make sense, or did I say that too fast? But too many times our tests or our trials are not because God is testing and trying. It's because He knew where you were going to try to walk away, so He just put you there and gave you the choice. What's your choice? Cry out to God. Trust Him.
Amen.
In one case, a man said, God, increase my faith. Well, he wouldn't say that unless he knew his faith wasn't strong enough.
Right.
So increase my faith. He also finds those, unfortunately, because the church is full of psychologists that want to tell you the reason why you're not obeying God, rather than just tell you obey God. There's a thousand and a million and a trillion reasons for not obeying God.
Oh, yeah.
It could be your out. It could be your history. It could be that you were molested. It could be that you were beat up. It could be who knows what. Stop using them to make yourself a failure.
Amen.
An excuse is a reason to fail.
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's right.
An excuse is not a full sentence.
That's right.
I can tell you that I can't run the race with you because I broke my leg. But the end of the sentence needs, but just watch. Just when that cast comes off, you better be ready to race. Instead, I'll never be able to race again because I broke my leg. I'm going to be a total failure all my life because my father, my mother, my brother, my cousin, my uncle molested me. Oh, get over it. Life has been molesting you ever since and you're not over it yet. Because you haven't learned to trust God. You haven't learned to trust God. Here's what I was going to say. He finds those in the church, those that say, God, use me, they're just walking wounded. They're walking wounded. Joseph had every excuse to be a walking wounded person. And he didn't use it not one time. He just said, you may see me here, but you just wait. You just wait. I see the sheaves bowing. I see the plan of God in my life, and I'm not letting you or anybody else or anything deter that. The walking wounded are full of fear, they're full of worry, they're full of hate, and most of all, the biggest sign of all, they're full of distrust.
Yes.
I had somebody tell me this last week, I'm going to start looking at everybody as a snake. I said, not me. This was in a pit of snakes, by the way. It was in a courtroom. That's a pit of snakes. And we were facing liars and cheats and thieves. And this guy was on my side. And so he just said, I'm going to start looking at everybody as snakes. That means you can't trust them. They're going to bite you as soon as you turn. I said, not me. I said, that attitude will kill you. I said, I'm not letting a little thing like this give me that kind of attitude. I'm sorry. It's going to take something a whole lot bigger than this.
Amen.
I don't want to become walking wounded. I don't want to be full of fear. I don't want to be full of distrust. Those that are in a self-preservation mode, not a I trust God mode, that's who's full of fear. That's who's full of distrust. If I'm worrying about tomorrow or today about what you or you or you or you could do to me, I'm not trusting God.
Right.
If I'm pouting, slacking, or anything else because of what you or you has done to me, then I'm not trusting God. Somebody go to surface like this and they'll get mad at me because of something I say. Instead of saying, God led me to this place so that I could hear it.
Amen. Yeah.
If we trust God, we truly trust God, we fear nothing.
Right.
Unless we think there's something bigger than God, then we got something to fear about or worry about, right? I didn't have coffee this morning either. I'm just high on God right now. I mean that. I can't hardly slow down my talking. If we trust God, that means there's nothing to worry about.
Right.
Nothing to worry about. And I know I'm talking to people like myself that have a tendency to worry. I'm not saying that I don't ever worry. I'm saying that when I catch myself worrying, I say, stop it. And I remind myself of the goodness of God. He is looking for those that do not waste his time blaming others for their doubt and unbelief. Let me say that again. He's looking for those that do not waste God's time, his time, blaming others for their, my,
yes,
doubt or unbelief.
Yes.
If I'm blaming others, I'm full of doubt and unbelief. Because what I'm saying is, evidently, I'm not in the plan of God. And so, therefore, I must be out of the will of God. It must be their fault.
Right.
I'm telling you, I don't care what place that I'm in. And I don't care what it looks like. If I really believe that I'm where God's at, you have no control over me.
That's right.
And therefore, I can't blame you for anything. I won't blame you for anything. I've got to get better at that. We all have this defensive mechanism that we need to destroy. A person that trusts God feels safe everywhere.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, that excites me. When I look at Joseph being in the deepest, darkest prison, and he feels so safe that he'll serve the prison guard, that puts me on the spot. Can you imagine that? You don't have any reason to be in jail. You don't have any right to be in. Nobody had any right to put you there. You didn't do anything wrong, and there you find yourself. You can cry, you can whine, you can moan, or you can say, this must be God. I'm excited about seeing what's going to happen. So excited that I'll serve you, Mr. Guard.
Amen.
A person that trusts God feels safe everywhere. One that is afraid is disobeying God. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be worried and afraid everywhere.
That's right.
I can remember a few years back when Verda was blaming everybody in the world and said, I need to leave here because I don't feel safe here. You know what makes people feel unsafe? Sin. Not others. Theirs.
Yes, that's right.
The next person that came along, and I'm not going to list that name, that's too close, said, I don't feel safe here. When they were in adultery. No wonder you don't feel safe. You shouldn't feel safe anywhere.
That's right.
Don't blame those around you for they didn't hug me and kiss me and smooch me. That was the Holy Spirit telling you, stop committing adultery.
That's right.
Well, I'm getting tired of carrying other people's blame. Blame yourself. I got enough blame from me. I don't need yours. I'm too busy trying to straighten my life out. Please don't give me your problems to straighten out. Take them to God. Yield to Him and watch your life get better. I'll help you pray. I'll help you believe. But I'm not going to carry your sin.
Amen.
I need to start learning that. That's your sin causing you to be afraid. If he can find a selfless and a willing heart, he will use that person to minister to the world. If he can find somebody that will stop blaming other people, he can use that heart to minister to the world. So I believe in my wife and I's life, we keep going on these, we keep seeing these things that kind of go up and further down and up and further down and up and further down. And the thing that I see the greatest in this story right here is that no matter how bad it gets to looking, when you get to the bottom, there's only one way up, and that's not my encouraging word to you. Any idiot can say that. What I'm saying to you is that's when you've passed the test. I'm laughing at some. Anyway, you've passed the test, and now it's time for you to soar.
Amen.
That's what God told me about this morning. That's why I'm excited. Bill said, how are you doing today? Well, let's see. How am I doing today? You want to know physical? I'll give you a physical report. Physical report is we spent all last week in court. We probably spent $10,000. No telling how much more. But it's God's money. It's not mine. See, I got to remember, that's God's money, not mine. It's His worry. Those enemies didn't attack me. They attacked Him.
Yep.
If I'm in the will of God.
Right.
Right? Let's see. We probably have to make a trip to Kansas this week. For a family dispute that shouldn't be there. A problem that shouldn't be there. And I'm not going to blame anybody else. I'm going to say it must be a plan of God. Got to be some good resolution.
Man.
2 hours after I went to bed last night and went to sleep, I get a call saying, your brother-in-law died. Y'all need any more words? You know what the outcome of this is? God reveals to me that when you're in the deepest, darkest prison, the next step is glorious.
Amen.
Am I in God's will? Yes.
Amen.
Then what does that obligate God to do? Take care of me.
Amen.
I don't have any problems. God has a bunch of problems, but I don't have any. Right?
Yeah.
Come on, y'all need to look at these things correctly. I don't care where you find yourself. God has the problem. You don't have one.
Amen.
You're walking in Him.
Yes.
I'm free.
Lord.
I'm free.
Glory.
You know, one of the things I told my wife on the way to church this morning, she got a mini sermon. That is this, that Joseph got this word. I mean, he's in this mansion taking care of the guy that owns his family. I mean, he's wearing fine clothes, eating fine food. This is good. But there's this whore called a wife that's after him. Y'all don't mind me using that word? Okay. God tells him, Or what if God would have told him? You know, he's already been through the pit, he's been through the slave trades, he's been through everything else, and now for the first time in his life, it's a little easy, but there's this thing. God walks up to him now. I didn't say this happened. I said, what if? God would walk up and say, look, lady's going to lie about you. The guy's going to throw you in the deepest prison. While you're in prison, you're going to have to serve the prison guard. But don't you worry about that. I'll make you ruler of the nation in a few weeks. No. See, what we say is, no, that can't be God. I have to go to the prison. That can't be God. I cursed that thought. Blah, 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 blah. We get into the charismatic mode instead of saying, okay, God, you must have something. You know what you're doing. I don't vote yes. I mean, I don't vote. I'm excited, but I vote yes. Come on. There's some things we can't handle. Did you know that I can handle persecution? I can handle pain. I don't think I can handle all the Word of God. That makes sense to you? If you gave it to me all at once, I'd say, that can't be you, God. No, 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 no. Make me ruler of a nation. Look where I'm at. You just told me I'm going to be in the deepest, darkest prison. Surely, there's something. God, you need to take a Rolaid or something. That's the way we'd handle it.
That's right. That's right. Exactly right.
For those of you that are guests, I apologize. We teach Word here. We don't fool around with jokes or poems or anything like that. We just go for the Word.
Amen.
I don't apologize for that. But we may come across a little too strong. I don't apologize for that. What am I apologizing for? Nothing. I'm in the will of God. All right. I got that straightened out right in front of you. How about that?
Hallelujah.
Genesis chapter 37, verse 18. This place is full of truth.
Yeah.
This place is full of truth. And right now, that truth is setting me free. I have a hard time staying in the room with you because I just want to hoop and holler. Genesis 37. By the way, truth is a man. It's not me. Truth is a man. His name is Jesus. Genesis 37, verse 18. Now, when they saw him afar off, who? We're talking about the brothers. We're talking about the brothers. You remember Jacob or Israel said, go take care of your brothers? Okay. He's going because that's what he was told to do. Now, when the brothers saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Now, what I want to show you here is the plan. The enemy has a plan. Don't you ever think that the enemy doesn't have a plan. You underestimate the enemy and you'll get destroyed. Here's the plan, plain and simple. Let's kill him. 19. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. This dreamer. He's not one that knows the will of God. He's a dreamer. That was a slap. This dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Ooh. Let me tell you what these brothers did. At a later date, they bowed to the dreamer. So they did see what became of the dreams. But they can't see in the future anymore than you can. You can trust the future, but you can't see into it. Now that's the plan of the enemy. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. Here's God's plan. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 through 4. The Lord was with Joseph. Woo! Come on, you all say, woo!
Amen.
See, now you don't have anything to worry about. Put your name in there. You don't have anything to worry about. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who was coming out there? Was there a little youngest brother? Who was coming out there? The guy that was thrown in the pit? Who's coming out there? The guy sold into slavery? Who was coming out there? The guy that was thrown in the deepest jail? God, I don't need that kind of success. Yes, you do.
Amen.
You need exactly what God has for you.
Yes.
Believe me, if your mind is clear and fixed on God, it won't be painful for you anyway.
That's right.
Count it all joy, the Bible says.
That's right.
The Lord was with Joseph. He was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord, was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand.
Amen.
When we're doing what God wants us to do, everything we touch is going to prosper.
That's right.
Some close friends are from South Texas. They came up. We met them in Colorado Springs. They said, "What are you doing?" We told them what we were up to. The woman, out of the clear blue, it had to be a word from God because she said, "Stan, I don't understand. Everything you do just turns to cash." I'm looking at my wife. I said, "Who'd she see?" "I don't understand that. I don't understand." But you know what? Why don't I just accept that as a word from God? I don't care if I see it. Did you know a fact is a fact whether you see it or not?
That's right.
Are you walking with God? Are you successful? If you're walking with God, you're successful. If you're successful, everything you turn your hand, you put your hands to, prospers.
Right.
Well, I don't see it. I didn't ask you your opinion. I didn't ask you to see it. I asked you to believe it. God asked you to believe it.
Yeah.
Don't say, as soon as I get out of prison, I'm going to believe it. It's too late. You won't get out of prison.
That's right.
I believe it right here, right now.
Yeah.
Well, you're just a dim-witted nut. My Bible says I'm peculiar, so you just say it any way you want to. I'm trusting God.
Amen?
Amen? I'm trusting God. Does that make any difference? What? He was in the house of his master. The master recognized that everything he touched prospered. Verse 4. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Did you know he was a slave? You know he'd been bought? He really didn't own anything of his own.
Right.
What was prospering his master. And his response was, "Well, I deserve better than that." His response was, "Don't you know who I am? I'm the future king." His response was, "I serve you." Why? Because when you serve God and you're in the will of God, you're serving whoever's around in the will. Y'all can all say amen to that and just call those things that you don't quite understand as you already understand them. I mean that. That's our flesh doesn't want this kind of nonsense. It wants lies. It doesn't want truth. Flesh doesn't want truth. Your spirit man is hungry and thirsty for truth to override your flesh man. Okay. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. He didn't ask for a raise. He didn't say, "If I'm so good, you need to give me more." He waited for God to give him more. Then he made him overseer of his whole house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. Step up, right? Part of God's plan? Okay. Sometimes we get to thinking that it's dangerous to volunteer. When I was in the military, the first thing they told you, don't ever volunteer for anything. And I found out to volunteer usually got me better duty. So I didn't listen to them. Sometimes we get to thinking that it's dangerous to volunteer for anything. But in God's world, that is what he's searching for. A volunteer and a servant. He doesn't need some big-headed, loud-mouthed leader. He needs a volunteer and a servant. God said, don't make me chase you down. And don't make me beat you up so much you finally give in and say, "Okay, I'll do it." Just don't feel sorry for yourself. Be that volunteer. Be that servant in wherever you are. Now we're going to jump forward. We're going to come back probably next week. We're going to jump forward. Genesis chapter 39, verse 21. Y'all go ahead and turn there. I was right. Verse 39, 20. Genesis 39, 20. By the way, do you understand that one of the things we read was that the master found out that Joseph was basically a servant of God and that everything he touched prospered?
Yes.
Now, do you think he trusted that fact? Yes, he did, because he turned his whole household over to him.
Right.
And yet, one little word from one little woman and his whole total mind changed. Men, I'm going to stomp your feet just a second. One little woman, one little word, changed everything he knew.
Right.
Don't get caught up in that trap. Adam did, and there had to be a second Adam come and heal the world.
That's right.
Please, one little sweet voice doesn't change facts. That's a call for you to listen to me.
Yeah.
Trumpet sounds, listen carefully.
I'm not
going to
answer it.
No, answer the call to listen. It's better. I did this morning, and I'm overflowing. Amen. I'll tell you again, there's always a voice out there to steal a blessing.
Right.
Do you understand the master would still be prospering to this day if he hadn't listened to his wife's voice?
That's right.
Men, you're called to be the head of the household, not the listener of the household.
Right.
Sometimes the household needs to be quiet, and the man needs to make a decision. Sometimes it's the wrong one, sometimes the right one. If you're obeying the Word of God, God will cover your wrong decisions.
That's right.
But if you're listening to a voice other than God, He won't cover your mistakes.
Amen.
The wife wanted Joseph. You understand that? The wife wanted Joseph. Come on. But if the master gave the keys of his entire kingdom to Joseph, why would he listen to his wife? Oh, it got quiet. You men not even brave enough to say anything. He should have backed off when his wife said, "This guy tried to rape me." He should have backed off and said, "Wife, I've seen you acting a little funny, and I've seen him. I can trust him. I think you need to be quiet. I don't think you tell the truth. And I'll get back to you later. Joseph, go on about your business." That's the way it should have been.
Yeah.
But in the United States, we're taught you can't talk to your wife that way. God's Word says you need to be the head,
right,
not the tail. You need to be the head of your house.
Yes.
Or you will never be a head in the house of God or the work of God.
That's
or
right.
The will of God.
Right.
Now, you can either be the first Adam, which failed miserably, or you can be like the second Adam, and you can be the head of what goes on.
Amen.
That's freeman. That's a free one. You don't have to go there. I mean, yes, you do. You have to go there. Just eventually you will. Genesis 39:20. Then Joseph, women, did I speak the truth? Did I just quote Scripture? Then you don't have any right to be mad at me. I didn't write it. I just reported it. Get your heart clear or you can't do the work of God. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. All right. Let me tell you something. Let me just set something straight in our minds. Just because you can quote the Word of God doesn't make it where you can make the Word of God work.
That's right.
Why did I say that? You know that's not true, Stan. I know. I wanted you to listen to me. You are not responsible for the working of God's Word.
That's right.
You're responsible for the speaking and believing of God's Word. God is responsible for making it work out according to His plan.
Amen.
Now, if Joseph would have gotten comfortable, if the man would have believed Joseph over his wife, if everything would have gone what you and I think is perfect, Joseph wouldn't have ended up in prison where he had to be to get to the Pharaoh. Okay? Why'd you say that, Stan? You're confusing me. I'm trying to tell you don't judge everything by what you think you know.
That's right.
We had to go to this court session because of false accusations. I told my wife, I said, you know what I'd really desire today? To be able to minister. I didn't say lay hands on. Y'all know what I mean by that. my heart wanted to minister to those people, because the people that are making the accusations and lying and everything, I felt sorry for them. You need to feel sorry for your enemies. If I had been studying Joseph carefully, I'm not too sure I could have said that. I feel sorry for those people that come up against me. I feel sorry for those people that I mentioned this morning said, this place is, I don't feel safe. I feel sorry for them. Because they're not looking to God, they're looking to their own heart for resolution.
Yeah, that's right.
Wrong place. Wrong place. You feel unsafe, you are unsafe. But it's not my fault. It's not your fault. It's not anybody in this place's fault, except yours.
Yeah.
If God is looking, if I have to go through a court trial to minister to somebody, so be it. Let me say it another way. If I've got to pay $20,000 to minister to somebody, so be it, because it's not my money in the first place. I'll run up your bill, God, no matter what. I'll run it as high as you want me to run it. How many of you know that God doesn't run out of money? Therefore, I don't run out of money. That doesn't mean I can be stupid. It just means that when God puts me in a place where it takes money, it takes money. And I say, God, you got a bill. You got a bill. That doesn't mean I charge it up and believe. That means I tell God, you got a bill. How are you going to take care of this? Of course, what we don't want to hear is, you got to go work harder. Your wife has to go get a job. Your kids have to go get a job. Somebody, no, we don't want to hear that. That's not, I know that not to be the will of God. We try to out-talk God. Why don't you just go plan to minister wherever you are? I had a different idea of how I was going to minister. My attorney got up and made a motion to the court. The court just slammed him back down. I could tell it nearly destroyed him. Because you see, I walk in favor too. And that guy likes me. I don't even like him very much, and he likes me. Why? Because I walk favorably in the eyes of God.
That's right.
My wife noticed it. He was suffering. You could just tell by his actions. God said, here's what I want you to do. I resisted him like most of us do. It's not my place. This is my attorney. He's supposed to be the... And I reached over to him. I got him behind. I was behind him. And I took him by the shoulders and I said, you did good. You're going to win this. It just, like it shook him. And he turned to me and he said, well, I hope so. I said, you're doing good. You're going to win this. Now, I ministered to him. And I guarantee you, with as I know God, how strong He is, the man will be changed because of one action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Do what? This doesn't. You guys are not catching up to this. It doesn't make sense for me paying the guy and encouraging the guy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not paying him. God is. What God needs out of me is my obedience. He doesn't need my money and He doesn't need my wisdom. He needs my obedience. If I have to go through this nonsense just to touch this one attorney, and I don't like attorneys, but if I've got to go through this and it changes his viewpoint of God, so be it. That's where Joseph was. I hope this covers everything that everybody in this room is going through before we're through. I hope it does. And the end of that sentence, and he was there in prison. Most of us, that would be the end of the sentence. Joseph, he had no intention of that being the end of the sentence. I don't care where you found yourself. That's not the end.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you something. When those that we work for or those that we trust do us wrong in our sight, will we rebel? Will we become defensive? Will we rebel against God's will by trying to get even or become fearful or set them straight? Or will we continue to trust in God? Now, you know me. I want to lay hands on. My quickest remedy is to strangle somebody. Y'all don't want to admit that, but I'm being honest with you. I want to lay hands on suddenly. But God's teaching me something. Teaching me something. Sometimes laying hands on is reaching over somebody's shoulder and giving them a little encouraging word when they ought to be slapped down. I'm glad I don't get slapped down every time I deserve it.
Yeah, amen.
Or will we continue to trust God to set things straight? Are we going to set it straight? Or are we going to trust God to set it straight?
Trust God.
Amen. Now I want you to listen to this statement carefully. You see where Joseph is. You see the situation he's in. He will respond. Did you know everybody's going to respond to a situation?
That's right.
Even silence is a response. Mm-hmm. How we handle the next step will determine if God can use us or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need to remember something. How I handle my next step will determine how if God can use me or not. Y'all don't like that. You're supposed to be encouraging me with your amens and your smiles and that kind of stuff. How our next step, our next response will determine if we go on in God's will or not.
That's right.
If you don't like it, I'm sorry. I'm telling you the truth this morning. As God put it on my heart. But I'm going to tell you what Joseph's next step was. He stayed true.
Right.
My wife asked me, yesterday we went up a little day job. I did a bunch of welding. Got burns all over me. And she asked me, she said, because she wants to know how to weld. She thinks everything I can do, she can do. Probably better, but we know better now. She said, what's the hardest part of welding? I said, staying true? What do you mean staying true? When you strike that arc on a welder, especially when you're welding overhead like I did all day, you're going to get burned. Your shirt's going to catch on fire. The grass under your feet's going to catch on fire. You're going to burn holes in everything you can touch. I had logs catch on fire underneath me I was standing on yesterday. You know what you have to do? You just keep welding. But what about that thing that you can smell your own hair burning? You just keep welding. Well, what about your shirt? You know, you just keep welding. You got to finish this bead or the weld's not going to be strong. Every time you break a welding, an arc in a weld, there's a weak spot there. You want to do a good job, you finish. You want me to roll my sleeves up and show you my arms? You think I'm lying? There's burn spots all over. I don't care. I had a job to do, you finish. You don't use the excuse that I got burned, although it's a good one. It's a good excuse, but it's still an excuse. You didn't. Don't give up. What we see here in Joseph is he had every good reason in the world to give up. But he stayed true. Genesis chapter 39, verse 21. Genesis chapter 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord showed him mercy. And the Lord gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Did you know if you're walking with God, you're going to have favor? You have no choice. Because God has favor. Even in the midst of sinners, He has favor. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was Joseph's doing. Ooh, that's scary. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. My goodness, you talk about favor. He didn't even check up on him. Because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. I hope you guys are getting this. Because Joseph trusted God in the middle of the deepest, darkest prison, Joseph didn't walk in anything but joy and favor. Joseph couldn't mess up bad enough to become the underdog because he's trusting God, because he was obeying God. God is always with those that are trusting Him. If we find ourselves without hope, we've gone a different way than God.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. Verse 3. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. In the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. A man was put where Joseph was. A setup, a plan. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with that guy. And he served them. Who served them? Joseph served the prisoners, even though he was in charge. And he served the guard, even though he was in charge. And he served them, so they were in custody for a while. I put them there for a while so you'd understand something. This stuff doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It might take a few days, weeks, months, years. What's your hurry? You got another place to go? If we are the true servants of God, we are servants. Even if it looks as if we are serving those who persecute us, we are really serving God. Do I need to say that again? Even if it looks like we're serving those that persecute us, we're serving God. If we are serving God, listen to me, if we're serving God, no one else can interfere.
That's right.
Not even our emotions.
Man.
Not even our emotions. Not even our emotions. That's fear. That's worry. Emotions are fear and worry.
Mm-hmm.
If we interfere by defending self, we lose. Captive or slave, we are truly free. Slavery is a state of mind. It's not a position.
That's right.
Captive or slave, we are truly free when we serve God without doubt, fear, or question. I'd submit to you today, if all looks lost and all is going wrong, if we stay true, if we trust, we are as Joseph on the verge of a victory that places us in a total ruling position. What am I saying, Stan? What are you saying, Stan? Don't look at what you are. Don't look at what's gone on in the past. Don't look about. Don't worry. Trust God and watch the victory come.
Amen.
Let God have His will. You be proven. You pass the test. I want us to understand something here this morning. God is not going to pass your test.
That's right.
He did not prove nothing to you. He does not have to prove anything to you. It'd be just like you going in to your boss and saying, prove you're the boss. Okay, you're fired.
Yep.
You won't get a paycheck anymore.
Yep.
You got the proof. It's pretty stupid on your part, but you got the proof. God is not out to pass your test. You're out to prove past His. Pass His.
Yes. Right.
And believe me, it says that He'll put not let anything come upon you can't handle.
That's right.
So this is not a hard one. Where are you today? Are you in a prison of worry and not knowing what the future holds, fearing everything? Or are you totally free, knowing that God has a plan? He's in control. He never fails. Unlike you, He never fails. The biggest problem you could ever have is putting God on your level. Because I fail, He fails. Mm-mm. Stop trying to correct wrongs. Stop trying to correct wrongs. Stop trying to set things in people straight. You do not have the ability. You do not have the wisdom. You do not have the foresight. You haven't been up. You don't know what's going on. This may be a plan to advance you and the person you're mad at.
Yeah.
If you just won't take it in your control. Stop trying to defend yourself, which requires all to be wrong except you. Y'all like that one? See, to defend yourself, everybody's got to be wrong except you. And you know in your heart of hearts that's not true.
Yep, that's right.
Trust God. Know that all is all is well in Him. Be free. Be willing to say, here I am. That's what Joseph said. That's what set him on the throne. He was willing to say, here I am. He didn't say, I don't deserve this, God. He didn't say, but God, you know they're trying to kill me. He didn't say, but you know that'll make me end up in prison. He just said, here I am. Here I am. Does anybody in this place need to say to God, here I am this morning?
Yes.
How many of you need to say that so much you just throw your hands up? Say, here I am.
Here I am.
Here I am. I'm telling you, this is a safe. Look, raise your hand again. Look up there and tell your hand it's a safe position. Tell your hand it's a safe position.
It's a safe position.
Because see, your flesh doesn't want to do that. So tell your hand it's a safe position.
A safe position.
Tell your hand there's no fear here.
There's no fear here.
I mean, when we do that, we reach right into the throne of God and receive power and honor and authority and glory. We reserve strength. We get strength and healing. That's what Joseph received when he told his father. We're telling our father here this morning. When he reached up to his father and said, here I am. He said, what he was really saying is, I have no fear. I have no worry. I'm safe. I'm safe. Can I tell you something? See, no matter what you've seen in your life, no matter where you think you are, no matter how bad you think it is, did you know if you're a child of God, you're still a child of God?
That's right.
Now, I want you to understand something. When you say, I am a child of God, you're saying, I'm an heir of God.
Right.
You are saying, I'm one with God. You are saying, I carry the word of God. I carry faith in God. You are saying, I have the mind of Christ. You are saying, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You are saying every good thing that God has ever said about you. You are saying that God is not a liar and He will perform what He's begun in me.
Yes.
You are saying something your flesh doesn't want to hear but will prosper from.
Yes.
Make your flesh hurt so it'll stop hurting. Joseph made his flesh hurt so he'd stop hurting. When you correct your flesh with the Word of God, the pain will go away.
Yeah.
If you don't use that, the pain will stay. It'll get bigger.
Yeah.
The fear will go away. or it'll get bigger. That's your choice today. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I am a child of God, and no matter where I find myself today, no matter how many bad reports I get, I am a son of God.
Yes.
And as a son of God, I have the right to expect God to treat me as you would treat your son in trouble.
Yes. Yes.
That means I'll run to him, I'll protect, I'll defend, I'll pay out, I'll do whatever it takes to protect my son. That's what God says of me. What does he say of you this morning? All I have to say is here I am.
Yes.
Do you know how good a message this is? Goodness.
Yes.
I got goosebumps all over. Praise you, Father. I don't know if you've had anything happen to you this morning, but in my study on the way here and during this service, I have been set free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. One can fall here, 1,000 can fall here, and 10,000 can fall here. And I just keep walking because I'm walking in God. How many of you have ever heard of God getting beat up?
Never.
Ever losing?
Never.
So if I stay in Him, I'm in a safe place, right?
Right.
Hallelujah. 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 If God can say of Joseph and those people can say of Joseph, everything he puts his hand to prospers, then I expect what I put my hand to prosper. Why? Because I want it? No, because God said it.
Yeah.
I won't lay my hand on accusations because they would prosper.
Yeah.
I won't fellowship with doubt and unbelief because they would prosper. Whew. Man. The Bible says you are to meditate on these. That's what you're seeing me do. I'm meditating on this right now. I'm putting feet to this in my life. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Stand with me. I'm going to ask you something. Are you serving the God of Joseph's brother, or are you serving the God of Joseph?
Joseph.
Who are you serving this morning? If you're not serving the right God, I would like for you to come forward and let us pray with you and introduce you to the right one, the correct one, the one that fights for you, not against you. Hallelujah. If your heart's not clear, if you feel any tug at all by the Holy Spirit, let us pray and let's get you set free. Your problem is your problem. It's nobody else's. It's yours. We're going to introduce you to the one that wants your problem so bad. He says, cast all of your cares upon me.
Yeah.
Let me care for you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. There's nothing more discouraging to other Christians than to see a Christian walking around, sulking, hurting over stupid things. Just ridiculous things. When they have a family they can trust. They can walk up and say, pray for me, encourage me. I need some encouragement right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. 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 Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. No other fount I know. The blood of Jesus is the one that I need. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. All hearts clear? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Patrick, as soon as possible, I want this message. It's going to do me good to hear it again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm not going to let my excitement be stolen by circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. You know what Joseph did? Joseph lost everything. How many times? See, we really don't know how many times. We know what we read. But I promise you, he lost it when they threw him in the pit. They lost him when they threw him, sold him as a slave. Lost it there in the house where the wife accused him. He lost it when he went to prison. He lost everything. Did you know this man set the world on his edge and never, as far as I know, owned anything?
Yeah.
Now, he enjoyed a lot of wealth. I didn't say that. But he never owned anything. He got all this by serving other people.
Yes.
Church, we got to get our minds set. We're going to get rich by serving other people.
Yeah.
Serving God and His people.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. All righty. I'm glad your hearts are clear. And if they aren't, if you needed God and you turned from Him, I hope that God does to you what He did to me when I turned. He follows you wherever you're going and hounds you until you give your life to Him.
Yeah.
Nothing could be better in your entire life than learning about this God of Joseph.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I will say to you before we dismiss, I got a lot of words in it. Anyway, here's my priestly blessing to you. May the Lord bless and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. Woo! May He be gracious to you, show you His favor, and give you His peace. And I say it in Jesus' name, and everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Y'all be dismissed. Hallelujah.